So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ryan Ank, your host with Cashflow Dad Life. Welcome to another awesome episode. I'm stoked for our guest today is Clay Popham. Clay is kind of a local investor here, and he's actually crushing it right now here in Louisiana. But he's been doing real estate investing all over the place. And originally, I don't think you're from Louisiana, right? You came from, was it Georgia or Alabama?
Yeah, I grew up in South Georgia and lived all over the country.
Georgia. So one of the main reasons, guys, that I wanted Clay to come on the show is because one of the things that we talk about and one of the biggest barriers that people have when they're trying to get started investing in real estate, or if they've gotten started, but you know, maybe they put the brakes on for a while and they wait till they get enough money to do the next deal. And one of the reasons that I was really excited to have Clay come on is because he has done a tremendous job at raising private capital. And with his new company, High Ground Solutions LLC, he's raised over $1 million. And the way he did it was pretty easy. So I invited him on the podcast to share with us just his story and how he did that. And hopefully you guys can glean some tips and get some confidence in knowing that it's really quite easy to raise private capital for a really good real estate investment if you know what you're doing. So thank you so much, Clay, for agreeing to come on the show, and it's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ron.
So if you could just start us off, tell us a little bit about your backstory. What made you want to get started with real estate investing in the first place?
Well, I don't know how deep you want to go in this, but...
Deep.
Okay. So at 17, I joined the Marine Corps and was doing the Marine Corps things. After about 6 years, got picked up to be a part of a commissioning program that sent me back to college. And so I decided to go to Auburn University, even though I'd never been to the state of Alabama the day that I showed up there. And as I was driving around looking for apartments, there were $1,200 a month for rent. I drove past a townhouse I had up for sale by owner, called them up. They gave me a price. I called the bank, and maybe preface this a little bit more. Like I don't come from any money at all. So owning a home, even though I was like 24 at the time, seemed like kind of outrageous, just because it just wasn't the way I was necessarily brought up. But I called the bank, and you know, the payment on was going to be like $725. And I said, well, okay, I've already got a roommate that said, go find us a place. I'll pay no more than $500. And you know, $1,200 apartment or a $750 condo, I could do that math. And that was kind of what got me started. And then the next 4 years while I was in college, I took some unorthodox courses that most people probably wouldn't, that had nothing to do with my major of religious studies and philosophy, one of which was estate planning. And if you know anything about estate planning, obviously real estate's a big part of that. And the professor who taught it happened to be a real estate attorney who then let me do an independent study to help create a course on real estate law. So while I was there, I got to really know about what real estate really was. And I had a big desire to own land. And one of the things that was cool about that time period in the early 2000s, I was thinking about this earlier, is there was not as much data on the internet, but the data that was there, I feel like it was easier to access. Because there wasn't quite the premium put on, you know, people talk about skip tracing now, trying to find absentee homeowners and stuff. I mean, used to be you just go into White Pages and .com and everybody you wanted to find, if the information was known, it was public. But the area I was in had a GIS system that was really ahead of its time, where you could search by parcel size. And so I just went through, and if you had between 50 and 100 acres and you lived out of state, I spent hours and hours finding phone numbers for every one of them and would just personally, I called hundreds of people until I found somebody that has 75 acres that they wanted to sell but couldn't, that had never been on the market because they had title issues. It had been passed down, it had been in their family since the 1800s. Well, because of the course I had taken with the real estate law and the estate planning, I had learned my way around a courthouse. You know, so I spent, again, free time as a college student. So, you know, I had time, not really money. Was able to put a deal together on 75 acres, 12 miles from the stadium in Auburn. Kept that for a couple of years until I realized that even though owning land sounds cool, it doesn't pay you every month. And it was just money going out. So I sold that a couple of years later after meeting a former real estate mentor, Jason Hartman. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's one of probably the larger turnkey providers across the country. And he had really done a lot for my education at that time and really started just seeing the benefits of passive income through rentals. So I sold that land and started buying properties in Auburn and then moved to Louisiana a few years later after I was done being a Marine in California and did some live-in, fix and flip, did some buy, fix up, rent out, refinance, and then went to retire from the Marine Corps and said, hey, I've acquired all this knowledge. At that time, I had property in Georgia, Louisiana, California, Alabama. Said, I'll go be a realtor. You know, folks will love this knowledge. And then I found out that I absolutely hated being a realtor. and I was not very good at it.
Now you're a salesman. You're just brokering deals.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because you would meet folks, and one of the things that really would excite me is being able to present people with equity opportunities, value add opportunities, and in conversations with folks, that sounds great. But the reality is, like, most people walk in the street, like, one, they don't have vision, and two, at the end of the day, the retail buyer wants, like, what's the most amount of money the bank will give me so I can look the coolest to my friends, not what's going to put the most money in my bank account. And to me, like, that's what's exciting. Not like, I don't care what you think about where I live. I know what my equity position is in it, and that gets me much more excited.
Right. I don't know what it is about you Marines, man, but it seems like everybody who's a Marine that gets into real estate just absolutely crushes it.
Well, that may or may not be true. I don't know. You know, so after I decided I didn't want to be a realtor, I decided, okay, well, what's the next move? And so I opened a retail business and with the idea that I was going to open multiple. And, you know, having formally had to lead 120, 150 guys, I was like, man, a retail business with two or three people, like, I can do that, like, in my sleep. And I just completely overlooked the fact, let one or two, or, you know, let lose one of those people out of two or three when you don't have a bench, and guess whose turn it is? Like, you know. And so I just became a slave to 9 to 7, which was not the idea. And I said, well, this is not working. You know, so I had a big mindset shift for years because I was a W-2 person. I always looked at real estate as that passive investment in place to earn money and watch it grow. But it was a big shift for me to be able to say, okay, how am I going to make that my primary means of income? How's that going to be my active source of income? And then it was just, you know, okay, who is doing this and seeking those people out, and people doing it at a high level, people doing 50, 100, 200 deals a year. Like, they exist and they're much more common than you would have thought. And 5 years ago, pre YouTube and the popularity of Facebook and things like that, like, it was just less likely that you were going to know that was even like a real thing. And so I just connected with those folks, said, okay, how are you doing it? They showed me. And it's just been repeat the success that other people have had. So then this year at the beginning of this year, said, okay, I'm going to make a real effort to do this. Was fortunate enough to be able to partner up with another individual named Josh Miller, who was making his way out of the Navy. So I'm a former Marine infantry officer guy, and he was a Navy SEAL. So both of us definitely have an attitude where we're super competitive. We refuse to fail.
Chew someone's face off if they get in your way.
But, you know, one of the things that's also cool, too, is, you know, we've lived in austere conditions. You know, people, I know that you talk in other podcasts about fear and different things. For us, when you put it into the context of life, like, what's going to happen? Like, this deal is not going to work. Like, okay, it'll be okay. You know, when you start really looking at worst case scenarios, like, we've slept in deserts, we've slept in mountains. Like, we've endured the suck and it was just fine. Like, you're still going to be fine. So, being able to partner with somebody like that. And he had gone out about a year and a half ago with no money, zero money whatsoever. Now, he came to me about 2 years ago and said, "Clay, will you teach me real estate?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, go to this podcast, go to this book, and come back to me later." Well, he did much more than that. And he just went out and started doing deals and doing them with absolutely no money.
That's the guy you want to partner with.
Yeah. I mean, he had given up six-figure income for zero income and said, "This is what I'm going to do," and was able to do it. And so when he came to me and said, "Hey, do you want to partner?" I was in a position where I had more tasks than I had time. And, so we joined together, and it's been awesome, man. We've been able to not only do a lot of the creative financing with sellers that he was doing on his own, but this year we were really successful in meeting our private money goals, and hope to double that next year.
That's awesome, man. Look, you know, I think I've got part of it figured out with the Marine and the Navy thing. And I think a big part of that, and I tell everybody, in fact, my last podcast, I think, was about this, was about the problem between people's ears. And when you're in the Marines and you're in the Navy, it seems like you're trained to not be afraid. You're trained to remove some of the limiting beliefs that some people have, which kind of segues me into my next question with what you've been able to accomplish. One of the biggest limiting beliefs that people have, they just say, "Well, this is the money that's in my bank account, and I'm not going to be able to invest until there's X dollars in my bank account."
Hey guys, I wanted to take a brief break from the show to remind you that if you haven't yet gotten your copy of my newest book, The 7-Day Real Estate Survival Blueprint, How to Create $10,000 Out of Nothing in Less Than a Month, then what are you waiting for? The book is available on Amazon for $19, but if you are a listener of this podcast, you can get it absolutely for free. All you have to do is cover the shipping charges, which is less than an extra value meal at McDonald's. So you could get fatter, or you could invest in an incredible amount of wisdom and a step-by-step blueprint. I cover by the hour exactly what I would do for the next 7 days to make sure that I have $10,000 in my pocket in less than a month by investing in real estate, starting with nothing. Say you have no money, okay, and no experience. So the book is amazing, and if you want to get it for free, it's cashflowdadlife.com/7, okay? And then you can get it there and just cover the shipping costs. All right, guys, back to the show.
"Well, this is the money that's in my bank account, and I'm not going to be able to invest until there's X dollars in my bank account." And what you did is you virtually said, "All right, let me just eliminate that idea and say, I'm not going to be restricted to what's in my own bank account. I'm going to find other people's money," which is what smart real estate investors do. That's how you're able to scale and grow to a massive portfolio of real estate and growing wealth, is by not using your own money. Mm-hmm. So you essentially in the last, well, it didn't even take you a year. It essentially took you a couple of weeks to raise a little over $1 million in private money lending.
Yeah, it was over a few months. I mean, we went after more as we needed more. I mean, we were definitely strategic about what it was we wanted to do this year. Some folks are definitely go all in and do everything you can as fast as you can, and that's great. But we've been very methodical about building out a team. We have great people that we work with. We pay them more than most people do, but it has saved us so many headaches. But we've had to go through a lot to get to that point. And even on the construction side, like we took more time than we should have on some of the first few deals, just learned how to do it so that, yeah, I don't ever need to float sheetrock again in my life. But the next time I need sheetrock quoted, I know how long that should take. And that's a right. That's a valuable thing. But the same thing with money. We went to folks that we thought maybe most likely and were able to show them success. And, you know, the thing that's cool about raising private money is when one person has success, they don't not tell anyone else. You know, some of the other investors we've got have just been folks that they heard from the people we borrowed from before and said, well, can I do that too?
Right.
So it's kind of just a repeatable process in that sense.
People tend to brag when they make money. It's just human nature.
And real estate's fun, man. Like, everybody wants to be in it. Everybody loves fixer-upper. Everybody loves to say that they're in real estate. And it's a great opportunity for folks to be able to make that claim that don't have the money and have other methods of their income earning.
Yeah, people who don't necessarily want to go through the tough education process that you went through, or go through the trial and error that you went through and learning how to fix and flip and different stuff like that, but they still want to be involved in real estate, it's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah.
So if you could kind of walk us through from start to finish, what did that whole process look like from the time that you were like, all right, I need more money other than my own? What were the next things that you did?
The next thing was identify who do I know that has money and who do I know that has money that is not my family. That wasn't where I wanted to go to first. And that was just a personal preference. I figured I felt more comfortable showing them success with other folks before I came to them. And for a lot of folks, they're going to do that the other way, and that's fine too. So I went to folks who I knew had money and who I knew understood real estate and lined those folks out that weren't necessarily investors themselves. And so then just went to them and said, hey, like, here are some of the deals that we've done over the last 6 months. And here are some things I've done over the last 10 years. And then just showed them, hey, here are a couple of projects we have coming up. These are the terms that we're offering. Would you be interested? And they were interested enough to sit down. And so we sat down and probably 30 minutes into breaking down each deal we did, which there were a lot of creative ones that were in there from work Josh had done prior and some other ones. I mean, it eventually just got to the point where they said, okay, yeah, just shut up. Like got it. Like, you know what you're talking about. Fine. So that was kind of the first person. And then they found, their friends heard that they were lending to us. It was a couple of investors that we met with to begin with. They saw the returns they got and said, hey, could we meet them? Yeah, sure. And then some of them were, it was really random, doing live Facebook videos of walkthroughs of different properties and whatnot. You know, there are a lot of folks, even still for me, and that'll be something that changes next year. A lot of people still have no idea what I do because I haven't personally put forth much of an effort to promote myself. My partner has done a lot of that. And so that was a super easy way of just, hey, do a Facebook Live of whatever project you're working on or thinking of. And you'd be surprised how many folks will reach out and said, oh, I had no idea. Yeah, well, this is what I've been doing. So just folks knowing, that was the first part. And then, you know, I think I told you last time we spoke, I put a post last week of a property we had coming to market. A couple of sentences. Hey, our latest project. Here's some pictures. If you know anyone interested in a home, have them get in touch. And if you're interested in investing in any of our future projects, we've got a pipeline with stuff always in it. I had 6 people hit my inbox the next day. One of them is in the Middle East right now, calls me and says, hey man, what are you doing? I've got some money. I said, well, let me send you some stuff. I sent him all of our files, had a call with him a few days later. Hey, did you have a chance to take a look? Actually, I didn't look at any of it. If your name is on it, then I'm good with it. You know, so a lot of it, I think that is important too, is it has less to do with my real estate knowledge than it does with the character that those individuals perceive that my partner and I have. They just trust us. And yeah. And so that's been a huge part of it.
Yeah, I want to stop and reiterate what you said for a second, because, you know, a lot of people might be listening to this and they might be thinking, all right, well, you know, that's easy for Clay to do because he did some projects before. And I want to just stop for a second and say, had you done no projects, but you just did that thing that you just told us, like basically you got a house under contract and you had some pictures of it and you put that up on Facebook and you said, hey, listen, this is the deal that we're working on. If anybody's interested, do you think it probably wouldn't have been as easy had you not had your past experience? But the most important thing that you just said was that they knew you, they liked you, and they trusted you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I go to a closing here in 30 minutes with a lender, the same guy we're talking about, that's lending us $120,000, that hasn't looked at a single thing that we've done and didn't care. He had no idea that I had ever done it before, because we only knew each other in a completely different capacity that had nothing to do with real estate. And when he and I hadn't spoken in 8 years, like 8 years later, a guy saying, yeah, if I know you, if you say it's good, then that's good. And I do think that's important for people to think about, because, I mean, just ask yourself, like, would you invest in you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and if the answer to that is no, like, go fix that. Like, you don't need to be worried about real estate and raising money. Like, you need to,
I love that.
You need to, like, fix yourself as a person.
Yeah. Like, stop being an asshole. That's your first step, is like, be a good person. Yeah. I love that, man. That is a gem right there. Would you invest in you? And if you would not invest in you, then you've got some work internally to do. But once you are ready to invest in yourself, other people are going to be ready to invest in you as well.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I'm referring to in some of these talks here are things that I've sent folks. Look, we don't put together a big investor packet. You know, if I were doing something like you, I know that you do some apartment things and some more complex projects. We don't do all that. We have one page that says who we are, what we're about, and 3 to 4 investment options and the different types of deals that we do. You know, if we are doing a wholesale deal, this is how long we'll have your money. This is what we'll pay for your money. If it's a flip, here it is. If it's a lease purchase, here it is. And that's it. And then we have a separate one that really we just keep as a run and tap for ourselves, an Excel spreadsheet of deals that we've done over the last 12, 18, 24 months. And so every time we close another one out, we just add that and we just send that to them. But we're not spending a lot of time in putting a big thing together. And there will be some folks that do want more of that. You know, your engineers, they're going to want to see a ton of numbers and you'll need to be able to speak to that. But the point I'm making is don't get wrapped up in I need an inch thick book of what it is that I'm proposing. Like, it's super simple. This is what the property is. This is what I'm asking for. Here's how you're protected.
Yeah. It's actually, you know, people tend to make it a little more complicated than it actually is. If you're an investor, all they care about is, do I trust the guy that I'm putting my money in? Will I not lose my money? Will I make money? So if you can articulate that in the simplest way possible, you know, people tend to approach people with, you know, data sheets, spreadsheets, pie charts, you know, and those things can be helpful. But most times, I think the most important thing to remember is if you're going after a private money lender and it's not this sophisticated investor, which most times it's not this like extremely sophisticated investor, is that a confused mind doesn't make decisions. Mm-hmm. So the more simple you can make it, the better, and the better the chances. Now, I want to touch on something else that you said too, because you mentioned that you went after you got this one guy and then he kind of told other people and you're able to get it through that. It's this whole concept of birds of a feather flock together. So if you are able to get just one investor and you get that person results, you know, it's almost like you're set just within that guy's network, because he will tell other people about those results. Now, if we could just briefly, if you could give us some of the very nitty gritty specifics, how are you structuring some of these loans for the specific deals that you're doing, like interest rates, amortization?
Yeah, so we typically will offer 1% origination.
If now, explain for people what that means, because some people might not know what that
means. Yeah, so if we borrow $150,000 from somebody, the day that they fund us, they're going to get a check back for $1,500. Now, if it's anything under $100,000, we'll give them $1,000 as a minimum to make it worth their while. You know, there are times, one of the funnest ones to do for us is to do a seller financing where we just take over the mortgage, do a property subject to, but then we'll just borrow the renovation funds from someone. So if we only need $40,000 for a project, the interest rate on that may not be super appealing, but you throw $1,000 on top of that and their rate of return really increases pretty significantly. And I would want $1,000 just for my hassle. So yeah, we're happy to do that.
The bank's going to get that if they lend you the money.
That's right. And then we pay between 10 to 12%, depending on what it is they're doing. If they're financing 100%, the purchase and the renovation, they're getting 12%. If they're only doing the purchase or they're only doing the renovation, then they're at 10%. And those numbers will go down over time as we get more investors. I mean, we've used, I think, 6 different private investors this year. But we're still learning how deep some of these investors' pockets are. Like we don't know. I mean, we had one recently that we previously had done maybe $100,000, $200,000. Now they're going to do one for $350,000, $400,000 that we had no idea that they had sitting around, but they did. So you just never really know. But as we get a bigger bench of lenders, then we'd like to have that down to around 8%. And in the future, 2020, the goal is to be able to have that $3, $4, or $5 million line with the bank on our terms, which right now we don't have enough tax returns to show them, or we haven't knocked on the right bank's door. And that's a whole job in and of itself. But hey, there are people out there that I know personally that have $3, $4, $5 million lines of credit that do nothing but flip single family homes. So it's infuriating to talk to these banks and they act like it can't be done. And it's just not true. It's just, do they want to? Well, when, right, you know, when you get enough success, they're not going to be able to tell you no. But yeah, that's not where we're at yet. Hopefully 2020 we'll have that line as well. But even then, I will forever pay more to a private person to eliminate the pain of dealing with the bank. So until it's a line of credit that I can write a check out of, I'm just not doing it.
Just right.
Too much work.
It is. It's a pain in the butt. And you constantly have to give them statements and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's a constant fetch your W-2s and your P&L statements and your balance sheets and all that, which is fine. But, you know, the bank gives you the best lending terms. I mean, you're not going to be paying a bank 9 to 12%. You can be paying a bank 4 to 6% interest. So it's, you know, they serve their purpose. And it is good once you have that $2, $3 million line of credit. You know, that's kind of the point of unstoppability. But yeah, so are you structuring these interest only with your investors until the house sells?
Yeah, we are. Typically, they're interest only. Typically, we're making monthly payments. Some don't care. Some will take quarterly. Some will take a balloon upon sale. And some will allow us to just, they want their money to work the whole time. So we can do a substitution of collateral where we'll put it from one property to another, or it's just a signature loan to us that we have floating indefinitely. But usually interest only. And most of the time we're forecasting that into what we're borrowing. You know, we're key to key going to be 4 months is the planning factor. Oftentimes we're less than that. Sometimes we're beyond that, but, yeah, monthly interest only is the most standard.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the details of how you structure that. A lot of people want to keep this information close to their chest. And I think what I've learned, and I'm sure what you've learned too, is that the more you're willing to share value to other people, the more you're blessed and the more value you receive in return. So I appreciate you opening your books, pulling back the curtain and showing us exactly how that's done.
Yeah, can I give you a book recommendation as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Susan Lasseter-Lyons, I think, Getting the Money. That's a really good one. And it's a short read, an easy read. And one of the things that she really hawks on in that book that I still need to get better at is people can't help you if they don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Personally, I don't care if somebody says no. And that's another thing that we didn't really talk about is I'm not asking for you to do me a favor. I'm paying you incredible rates of return. That if right. your money isn't it, like most people's money doesn't earn 10 to 12%.
And if you certainly have on the stock market, no, it's right. about 7% annual at the stock market.
Yeah. Non-real estate investors, most of them are not earning that kind of money. So that's important to just own that as well. Is like, if they have it available and they're getting a property that has equity, the day that they invest, if I walk away and everything is jacked, they still have a property with equity in it. Like they're just protected on so many fronts. And we also we're only investing in asset classes that would cash flow as rentals. So we're not worried. Even if a property doesn't sell, it's not a big deal. We'll just go get long-term permanent financing and put a tenant in there. So those things help the investors feel better. But again, it's just folks knowing like this is what you do. Like people can't help you if they don't know.
Money,
that's a good book.
You know, I think that's something that you said is another military and Navy mindset is that you don't care if people tell you no. You're not asking people to do you favor. I mean, you guys have been in the roughest of conditions, you know, and so it's like, what is somebody who has money telling me no gonna do for me? So many people are afraid of that. They just don't want to be told no. They're like, what if somebody doesn't like me? What if they tell me no? It's like, big deal.
you're not
hat in hand, you know, just begging them for money. They're getting a great return from them.
You don't get the hot chick to go out with you by not asking her out. You
know what I mean? she does. Yeah, the hot chick typically doesn't ask you out. So.
Yeah. Not my experience.
I love it. Well, awesome, man. Hey, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. I hope to have you on the show again in a future date just to talk more about some of the successes that you're having because your business is growing. It's exploding. We covered one topic, which was, you know, finding private capital. But I'm sure there's a lot more wisdom that we can glean from you. So thank you so much for sharing everything you have with us today.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate your willingness to always help folks out, man. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you.
See you.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.